Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
We have some exciting news.
We do.
That's right. We are about to head to
Great Smoky Mountains.
Yes. Is it called Smoky Mountains National? It's called the Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
That's correct. Yeah.
That is it. And yep. It is in both Tennessee and North Carolina.
Yes.
Yes, both of those states.
Both of those states, indeed. And it's our second trip, and it's actually going to be a really incredible trip because now we're really looking at things in a different sort of lens because of all of this new adventure that we have with our podcast and our Instagram.
Our Instagram account.
But it also is an opportunity for us to really get to explore for 2 more days in the Smokies, which... We only were there for about a day.
Yeah, we previously only hiked for 1 day in the Smoky Mountains, which we have an episode about.
There is an episode
out very soon.
Yes, and that was when we hiked the Mount LeConte Trail.
Yes.
And that was a full day hike from a really early start to...
Girl, was it full day?
Oh, yeah, full day. And now we have things to really consider because of the time change.
Oh,
so,
yeah, that's true.
You know how you want to murder me when I'm like, we have to get up at like 4 a.m. to get in the car so
always.
We can get there for sunrise so that we can get the hiking in and not be lost in the woods in the dark?
Well, you're going to tell me that again.
I am going to tell you that again.
I'm going to tell you that again because we have to get up early.
That's
but
right.
It's true because
it is
we have to hike early and hike often.
That's right. Sounds so begrudging about that.
It's fine.
But especially now that we have to fall back, which... Honestly, when are we getting rid of this thing? Like, I don't like falling back or springing ahead anymore. Like, is daylight savings time really a thing that's necessary?
I'm sorry, but like, there's no world in which that's going to stop.
Well,
like, sorry
obviously,
about it, girl.
Right.
Like, it's locked and loaded. It's going to happen every year,
and
just
it's
like
stupid.
Thanksgiving is every year. I don't mind getting the extra hour on the one day where we get it.
The thing for me
springing forward is the worst, but it is what it is. But I like having longer days during the summer.
Yeah, but I also don't like to like leave my house in the dark and then get home in the dark.
Okay,
I feel
well,
like
that's
I'm like
your choice. That's your life.
The
You've
mole
designed
man.
Your life like that.
Oh yeah.
So that
I designed
that's what
my
happens.
Life. That's right.
I leave when it's dark and I get home when it's dark and I don't get to be outside.
Right. Color me overworked.
Yes. That's the your title.
That's right.
The
that's
title
my title.
Memoir.
And I'm such an autumn.
you are such an
I
autumn.
I am such an autumn.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. I'm a winter in, what is it, Color Me Beautiful?
Is that, Color Me Beautiful.
Technically speaking, yeah, I'm a winter because like I look good in like what, red and blue or white, and you're more in like muted tones.
Yeah.
And I'm more in like... more saturated, I guess, is what they say.
I don't know.
You know what? If somebody knows about Color Me Beautiful,
yeah, just please, write in.
Please school these two queers.
That's
because
right.
We definitely don't know.
No.
So here's how it's going to work when we're in the Smokies. We're really excited about this. We're doing what we're calling live episodes. Now, that doesn't mean like we're going to like sit in front of an audience and record them. But we're going to be hiking all day, and we're going to be updating on our Instagram story constantly. And we're going to be recording some things while we're out on the hike. Then we're going to come back, and in the evening, we're going to record the episode about what our hike was that day. And intersperse into the episode all of the games we play along the way, all the drag queens that we come up with, and any other special things that happen along the way.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting take on this podcast because, you know, at this point, we're really working from past knowledge and we're going to really be living this live and experiencing it. Like,
that's why I feel like live is an accurate description of what the experience will be.
I think so. Yeah. And I'm super excited to just get back out on the trails.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. Especially like going to the Smokies in the fall is going to be just everything.
Yeah. We haven't really hiked in the fall. We've only really done spring and summer hiking.
And summer.
So I'm interested to see.
Shout out to those fans of Spring Awakening listening. Spring and summer every other day.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. You don't know Spring Awakening that well.
I don't know Spring Awakening that
well. Oh, things you need to know.
Yeah. In gems. Beautiful gems.
Perfect for the car ride.
For the core ride.
Right. If you catch on our Instagram story, us singing Spring Awakening in the car, you'll know why.
Exactly. But no, I'm really excited to see what it's like to hike in the fall and just experience the seasonal change because obviously I live for the fall and I've slaughtered all of my goats to make sure that the fall weather is here. So, I'm just really anticipating.
You also
it.
Live for the seasonal allergies.
Oh, you know it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's been a while since we've been on the trail. We actually haven't hiked since April.
Yeah, the last time we went hiking when we were in California. April was in California,
which is crazy.
Previously on this on our first trip to the Smokies, we did three national parks. We went to Shenandoah in Virginia, followed by Congaree in South Carolina, and then we dipped back up. Now, we're staying in Asheville, North Carolina.
We are.
Which, if you have not been to Asheville, North Carolina, then get in your car and go there today because it is a magical place.
So I think we're also going to have a Trail Mix episode where we talk specifically about Asheville and really how awesome a city it is.
I won't go into much detail here other than like it really is my favorite place.
Right.
We're staying with our friend Nadine Charlson, who is a watercolor painter and a former professor of mine.
And great people.
Oh, she's the greatest.
And her dog Asher.
And her
who I can't wait to see.
I know. He's adorable.
He is.
So yes, she is a watercolor artist whose work is absolutely incredible.
It's we'll put really, her really amazing.
Information up on our Instagram so that you can follow her.
Yeah.
And then we'll be headed out to the Smokies each morning that we're in Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, tell us a little bit about Smoky Mountain National Park.
So Great Smoky Mountain National Park is the most visited national park in the United States.
That I know. I mean, I would have guessed Grand Canyon was first, but
I would have as well. Just from sheer size and volume of people there. Even Yosemite, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, but Grand Canyon has like, sounds like, you know, the alpha national park of all national parks.
Because of Grand.
Yeah.
But there is great in Great Smoky Mountains.
That is true.
There's a lot of pomp in our titles here.
There is.
Yeah. But it's one of the only, actually, it's the only free park of the national park system.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they're all free at some point during the day. I mean, if they're all open
If there aren't rangers at the gates.
If there aren't rangers at the gates, but technically,
yes. But that's another interesting little piece of information. The park was chartered in 1934 by the U.S. Congress, and then it was officially dedicated in 1940 by FDR.
Oh, look at that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And actually, there is a point in the park. The highest point is Clingman's Dome, and there is a tower there. It's the tallest mountain in Tennessee, actually, Clingman's Dome, and it's the highest point on the Appalachian Trail. From that tower on the top of Clingman's Dome, you can actually see seven states, which is pretty crazy.
Which states?
Tennessee, North Carolina.
North Carolina, probably.
West Virginia?
South Carolina, probably Kentucky, maybe Georgia.
Yeah,
because Georgia's right there. Maybe Alabama.
I don't know. That's pretty crazy.
Maybe Virginia.
Maybe.
Virginia's not right.
I know. I'm not thinking of my geography right now.
No, I'm not either.
Correctly. Okay. So, but it's also it's also known as the Salamander Capital of the World because there are 30 different species of salamanders that live in the national park.
Wait, so there are 38 different
30,
species
just 30.
Of, oh, 30 different mm-hmm. species of salamander mm-hmm. at all?
I guess so.
Well,
wow.
And they are all contained.
Did you know what happened is that star with the rainbow just passed us and it said, the more
the
you know.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there is a ton of stuff to do. There's so many trails within the park itself because it's massive. I mean, it takes up a pretty good chunk of Tennessee and parts of North Carolina.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of other things that are very close to the park, like Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and Dollywood.
Oh, and Pigeon Forge.
And Pigeon Forge. So there are many.
I've been there many times.
Yeah, there are many things.
Not Dollywood. I've never been to Dollywood.
Dreams.
Dreams. Hopes.
Hopes, dreams.
Things.
The park
there
itself.
There is like one evening we could maybe go to Dollywood when we're there.
Maybe.
But we also have other things we want to accomplish.
Right.
So.
Things to dream about.
Things to dream about.
Dream a little dream for me.
Things to consider in real time.
Oh,
if
yeah.
they happen.
In real time, because this episode's going to be coming to you the week that we leave.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now that we're talking about the week that we leave.
Yes.
We are headed down on Wednesday, November the 7th.
Correct.
And this is coming to you on Monday, November the 5th. However, there is an extremely important day between November 5th and November 7th, and that is Election Tuesday, November 6th.
That's correct. This is an incredibly important year.
Oh my goodness.
First of all,
most important.
Every year is an important year when it comes to voting.
Yes. Mike, do you know what is the sexiest thing to me?
Civic duties.
Oh, people who exercise their civic duties.
Right, like jury duty.
Like, it is just, it gives me all of the feelings.
It does.
And this, I don't see any reason why one should not vote.
Right.
And I will tell you this. Like, I understand that there are situations in which, especially right now, between different laws or things trying to be passed where you have to, like, show ID and all these things, which, like, some people, Native Americans in North Dakota, for example, like their only listed address is a P.O. box because they live on reservations. And because of this, that's not technically considered an address and therefore they can't have access to voting. I say all of that because when I was young, I remember my mom when she taught me about voting, she said, you know, she was talking about how, you know, different people run and there are different political parties who believe in different things. And she, at the time, didn't necessarily affiliate herself with a political party. Mm-hmm. I think she does lean more toward one now. But at the time she didn't. And I asked her, you know, well, what if you don't believe in either? Is there a situation where you wouldn't vote? And she said, too many women have fought and died for my right to be able to do this. So to not show up and vote is like spitting on their graves.
Wow.
And I'll never forget her telling me that. So my thing is like, I will always vote because it's your voice. It's your vote. And I was watching some interviews with people who were saying that they weren't going to vote. And I literally heard somebody say like, no, I'm going to save my vote for like the presidential election. And it's like, no. Like you aren't allotted so many
right,
of them.
Right.
Like you get a chance every time there's
right.
a vote. Like every time there's an election, you have a right to vote.
Yeah.
So make your vote count every time.
Yeah. I mean, I especially just feel like, I mean, without leaning too hard into any specific ideology right now or
sure.
anything like that, there's just so many things that are happening currently that really need to be addressed.
Yes.
And it's really important that you're exercise not only exercising your right to vote, but really making informed decisions about who you're throwing your weight behind.
Yes.
you are just one person, but one person does really make a difference. And it adds up. It really does.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the senator who, like, the two senators that tied, like, in the last midterms, and literally, like, their name got pulled out of a fishbowl.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, all the things you're teaching me right now.
Girl, you need to get up on your politics.
Well, I mean, this is just like...
Politic. Her sister is heretic. The House of Tick. It's spelled T-I-Q-U-E.
Mm-hmm, I like it.
Politic.
Add her to the list.
Yes.
Politic. No, I just feel like that's like stuff that is not necessarily typical election stuff. So it's like
it's
that
typical.
Not I don't want to like give it credence as like a fringe thing, but it is an atypical thing that would happen in like an election.
Sure.
So but I really am so flabbergasted when I meet someone that says that they don't vote. Like I don't understand that.
Yes.
And I really just feel like it's so incredibly important. Like we're at the moment where you know, our voices really, really start to have, I think, more of an impact. We're at the moment where...
lasting impact.
We're at the moment where, at our age, there's a lot of people that can start running for really important office and really start throwing their ideology behind things and
exactly.
really start to make a difference. And I just feel like it's really just like a slap in the face when someone's like, yeah, I don't need to vote. You know, there's no reason. My vote doesn't matter.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Absolutely wrong.
Absolutely wrong.
So with that, please just vote.
Right.
Lyft is actually giving people rides for free to the polls.
That's awesome.
On November the 6th.
That's amazing.
So if you are listening to this when it came out, tomorrow is election day.
Right.
So get on it, girl. Like you need to make the time. You need to get up early or
right.
you need to go there at lunch or you need to go there right afterwards. The polls will stay open. I know, like, at least in the state of New York, if you are in line when the polls close, you still get to vote.
That's incredible.
Like, they
too.
Have to right at the end of the line.
Right.
So do your research.
Yep. Even in local elections for school boards,
in
things
local
like
elections,
that, that's like, really important to really
so
like
important.
Be informed about who you're putting weight behind. You know, as teachers, I can tell you that sometimes whoever's gets voted in, it's because of where their name is on the ballot, not because of people have done their research to know if they're an excellent candidate or not. Mm-hmm. And I know it happened recently. So, you know, it's something that you really just need to do a little bit of research on before election day.
That's right. And research, I'm just going to say this, is that I feel like as a nation, like, I feel like in the 90s, people were really, like, single-issue voters.
Mm-hmm.
However, and that's still around. I mean,
sure.
I'm sure there are some people who are like, oh, I literally just choose who I vote for based on their stance on abortion or their stance on marriage equality or whatever it is. However, I feel like more than ever now, we have moved beyond the single issue thing.
Right.
And like, not only have we moved beyond it, like we as citizens are required to move beyond it.
Right.
Because there are just so many things on the table now. And while you can say all day, like, well, I really wish like this just wasn't a political thing. Unfortunately, it is.
Yeah.
So now we have to make choices about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't you or me that did it, but a collective body of people have made certain things political that we now have to say, okay, if you feel strongly about this, then you need to do some stepping up here.
Right.
Your first way to do that is to show up tomorrow at the polls.
Right. And there's two things that I want to, you know, just touch on too is I just feel like now in the era that we're in, especially like you're saying, not being a single issue voter, it just is always so amazing to me too, people that are diehard for a party that just blindly throw weight behind a particular political party. And no matter, you know, who they're casting up for a candidate, they're just going to vote for them. Whereas that I feel like that is, that's something of the past. And it's amazing for me that people just become diehards like that and don't really kind of think beyond that person that's the figurehead or the candidate for that role.
And to counter that, what you just said, I will say it's not really a counter. It's sort of like an addition, is that, right, I totally feel you, is that like the two-party system is very tough at times.
Yeah, yeah.
And really hard. And like, I mean, Green Party is trying to go strong, but it's like we've never had anyone get anyone really get elected to president from Green Party.
Right.
Though I think the Green Party has given us other people in other offices. However, people who don't vote because they are frustrated with
either candidate. That's,
or no, I'm mean specifically like people who don't vote because they're like, I just don't really like the two-party system. Well, that is the way it is right now, girl. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You need to just like, this is something where you go like, okay, well, if you're frustrated, like you need to participate so that you can make a change.
Right.
All right. And if you don't like the two-party system, then make some steps and challenge it.
Right.
You can do that at a local level. And there are so many ways to do that. And there's so many resources out there available to help people to do that. But the only way to make any of those differences is by participating.
Right.
Participation is the only way to move things forward.
Yeah.
So you got to do it from the inside. This is not a situation where we can step on the outside and like change things from the outside. You got to do it like from within.
Right.
And with that, please just go vote tomorrow.
Please go vote.
Like, vote for who you believe in, who inspires you, and who...
who you believe will make a difference
and
a better place, a better world.
Someone that you feel shares your values.
Right.
So, you know what? I'm all worked up now.
Yeah, you are.
Let's play a game.
Okay, let's play a game.
Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is Moon. moon.com and use code GAZE24, and that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com, and that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Just like all of our episodes, we are going to end this trail mix with a game. And today, it's a new game. What game are we playing today, Mike?
We're going to be playing Dinner Party today.
Right. And you might have like encountered a question like this, like, oh, you're throwing a dinner party and who would you invite?
Right.
Who's living or dead? However, when we play, it has to be a very, very specific kind of dinner party.
Exactly.
And a specific theme, because guest list goes hand in hand with theme.
It's true.
And what is today's theme, Mike, of the theme of this dinner party?
Political party.
Political party.
That's okay, right.
So,
see what I did there?
I did see what you did there. Okay, so who are you inviting to dinner to your political party?
How many people are allowed to come to my political
party? You're allowed
party?
To bring three.
Oh, I can bring three people.
That's
okay.
It. It's you and three other people.
It's me and three other people, and they can be living or dead, correct?
Yes, living or dead.
Okay. So I am going to say that I would definitely invite myself, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She would be on the list for sure.
Mama Ginsburg.
Mama Ginsburg. I'm also feeling like I want some Eleanor Roosevelt action. I feel like she was such a champion for so many underserved and underprivileged people. And she really worked hard as a first lady. I feel like she would be such an interesting guest to have at that dinner party. I feel like my last guest would be someone from abroad, just to give a little bit of a shakeup to what I've got going on in this American dinner party here. So maybe I would invite, and I'm going to go with a trifecta of women here. I think I'm going to invite Princess Diana of Wales.
Oh, Diana. Yep.
Because I feel like those are some pretty kick-ass ladies, and I feel like they'd be able to offer up a lot of interesting conversation and insight onto a myriad of issues.
Completely. I 100% agree with you. And when I was thinking about this, I was like, yeah, there are definitely no white dudes at my party. Like, I've decided.
Great.
Even though, like, initially I was like, Harvey Milk might be an interesting choice, but no, Harvey Milk did not get an invitation.
Okay. Time. All right. So who's coming to your dinner party?
Who's
then
coming to my political dinner party? Mm-hmm. Okay. So right off the bat, I am bringing Michelle Obama.
Great.
Because we share a birthday.
Oh, I.
That's right.
January Capricorns forever.
17th Capricorns, right? Who are like almost Aquariuses, mm-hmm. but firmly Capricorn. Then.
You're not an Aquarius by any means.
Oh, no. I am firmly a Capricorn.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The next one is Harriet Tubman, because I just want her to spill all the tea on literally everything.
Yeah.
Like, I want to know. I have a million questions, and I just feel like if I ever had the chance to talk to anybody, it would be her. Then Edith Wilson is my third pick.
Oh,
she was
the second Mrs. Wilson.
She was the second wife of Woodrow Wilson, and when he was
incapacitated from his stroke,
exactly.
She ran the country for a bit.
She literally ran the country.
Just a bit.
So I just feel like
Lady
all
President.
The fierce, powerful female leaders, I'm here for.
Look at us with our lovely dinner parties.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should have a joint dinner party and then we could commingle.
Oh my God, commingle.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm into
I feel like
that.
There'd be some like really interesting conversation.
This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and all of the places where podcasts can be found. And we absolutely so deeply appreciate it when you give us ratings and you write us reviews. So if you enjoy this podcast, leave us a review. We would love you for that forever.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks and on Twitter at Gaze at the Parks. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
We'll see you at the end of the week for our live episode from Smoky Mountain National Park.
Stay tuned.
Just spent the last... Are you fucking chewing gum?
No.
Yes, you are.
I was before, but we weren't recording before.
But now, did you swallow it?
No, it's in my cheek like a chipmunk.
Get it out of your mouth. You cannot record a podcast with gum in your mouth.